Are parasites and mold at the root of your hormonal issues or your inability to release weight? Sister, you're not going to want to miss this episode. Tune in to learn what parasites and mold are, how they might impact women or show up more for women in perimenopause, and where to start if you feel like you have signs and symptoms. Let's dive in.
What's up, sister? Welcome back to the Period Whisperer podcast, the show helping perimenopause and menopause women de-stress your body and decode what it's saying to you so you can own your own health, energy, and weight loss again. If you're new, I'm so happy you're here. I'm Bria, I'm your host, a recovering people pleaser and hustle addict turned functional and holistic hormone specialist. Let's lean in and learn what your body is saying to you.
Hey there, sister. I am really excited to share this episode with you. This was a fascinating interview for me. I am just entering and learning more and more about the world of parasites and mold and metal toxicity. And something that my amazing guest says really sticks out for me in this interview. She says, and she's quoting one of her teachers, "If you're alive, you have a parasite." And I found that very, very fascinating. Now, Leanne Vogel is a certified holistic nutritionist and functional blood chemistry specialist who's been in this space since 2007, helping women use a ketogenic diet to balance their hormones. She's specializing in addressing chronic root cause issues such as parasites, mold, and metal toxicity using standard blood work. Leanne is the international best-selling author of the Keto Diet paperback, founder of HealthfulPursuit.com, and the voice behind the largest running keto podcast, the Keto Diet Podcast. She works one-on-one with clients from all over the world, helping them understand their standard blood work and coaching them through their root cause issues. You can find all of her stuff below, but you're going to love this episode where we cover everything about this, because the truth is that I've learned is that a lot of the symptoms that we experience in perimenopause are also symptoms of parasites and mold toxicity. All right, I'm not going to take up any more air here. Let's get into it. This is a great interview.
Well, hi, Leanne. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. I'm so excited you're here. You have an amazing resume, which I already shared in the intro, but more importantly, you share such incredible information in a really digestible way on your podcast, the Keto Diet Podcast, as well as on your Instagram. And I honestly am fangirling a bit here. We could spend this interview talking about a lot of things, but today we're going to talk about parasites and mold impacting how you feel in perimenopause. And honestly, I'm already geeking out about it. So let's start here. Why don't you tell us about you and how you came to love helping women, helping people, and really knowing so much about this topic?
Yeah. So it's an evolution. I graduated nutrition school in 2008. And at that point, I just thought if you ate really well, that your health would be great. And you moved a little bit, your health would be great. But fast forward a bunch of years of having clients and individuals that just weren't progressing. I was educating on the ketogenic diet. I had overcome amenorrhea, which is a lack of period, using the ketogenic diet. And so I really felt like nutrition played a key role, but myself, I was still not optimal. And of course, we're going to be chasing our tails if we think it's going to be perfect all the time. But there were some key issues that were happening that were just raising some red flags. And I had many clients at the time that just weren't progressing. Mm-hmm. And we were doing everything nutritionally and everything that I had learned how to do. And it wasn't working. Yeah. And around that time, I was having a lot of liver issues. And just weird symptoms. It just didn't make sense. So I asked a friend to do a test that I didn't know how to do at the time, which is a GI map from Diagnostic Solutions. Yeah. And thank the Lord that Entamoeba histolytica, which is a pathogenic parasite that slowly annihilates your liver to the point of death, I had that. And so the dots started connecting, but then I was like, parasites, what? This is like, how did I get this? Yeah. How has this been in my body for this long? How is it affecting my liver? Like, I learned nothing about this. And so through learning and a lot of trial and error on my part and starting to see a lot of those patterns, like, you know, when you, as a practitioner, when you see something, you can't unsee it. And so then I started seeing parasite symptoms in a lot of my clients. And then I started tying it with mold. And then I remembered when we renovated our house, that's kind of when my health declined. And I remember the contractor saying, hey, there was a bunch of black stuff behind the shower, so we cut it out. And I'm starting to connect the dots of like, oh yeah. So I've been dealing with mold illness this whole time. And I thought it was adrenal dysfunction. Like I thought it was exercise intolerance. And I thought my liver was janked because I drank too much alcohol in my 20s. And no, it's the parasite literally killing me. And so patterns just started showing up. And that's really how I got into this next phase of my career, which was educating on root causes. And so over time, I've just, you know, gathered all the different tools in my toolkit. And when you've been in business and just doing this for as long as I have, you just have a bigger toolkit. And so I can speak to parasites and hormones and ketogenic diets and vegan diets. And I've seen so much over the last couple of decades. And that's a little bit about me. And I no longer have Entamoeba histolytica. I no longer have amenorrhea. I have a pretty good liver. So things are looking up.
Oh, that sounds like, and you look glowy, which is great. So it obviously is working. That's awesome. And what a crazy story. So, and I have so many questions, but let's start with what are parasites and what is mold, so that maybe we can kind of define that piece.
Yeah. So parasites are, let's call them organisms that live in your body. Sometimes they can be dormant, meaning they don't have a lot of symptoms. Oftentimes parasites will deplete your brain of serotonin. Mm. So, it will cause gut inflammation. Your serotonin will be depleted. Your tryptophan then gets out of whack. And so a lot of the parasite symptoms that I see have a lot to do with mood dysregulation, sleep dysfunctions, anxiety issues, fatigue. And so I just listed off like everything that every woman ever experiences, right? So you're like, do I have a parasite? So one of my teachers always said, like, if you have a pulse, you have a parasite. It's pretty common for most of us to have parasites. It's just at the level in which we have the parasites, how long that they've been, and how pathogenic it was. In my case, I had Entamoeba histolytica, not an ideal parasite to have. I wouldn't want anyone to have this. I remember sharing it with a nurse friend, like, I had Entamoeba histolytica. She's like, you're living? That's crazy. You lived through that. So like, you don't want some of the really, really terrible ones. But some of them are quite common and they're quite easy to kill. And it's just because we have low hydrochloric acid in our stomachs. And we don't have that defense mechanism. We're so stressed, or hydrochloric acid is lowered, and parasites just set up camp. And a lot of the times, parasites are allowed to exist in a body that's toxic, because parasites are like vats for heavy metals and mycotoxins and chemicals. And so if our body sees a parasite, it's like, come on in. You can actually help me soak up all the toxins that we're being, you know, subjected to on a daily basis. And so that's a little bit about parasites. And in the case of mycotoxins, so mold is, you know, you may walk into a home and think, oh, it's a little bit musty. Well, that's mold. We call it musty, but it's mold. And mold creates certain toxins, and we call those mycotoxins. So it's not necessarily the mold that's in your body, but it's the mycotoxins, the toxins that the mold creates that goes into your body. And a lot of the times, like most of the times, what this will do is block LDL receptor sites in the liver and cause excess LDL. So what I see most commonly in individuals with mycotoxin dysregulation issues and the inability to detox these mycotoxins is their LDL will be elevated. There are many other markers that we look for on blood work, but that's like a key one that kind of gives me an indication, like, are we dealing with mold? Are there other things? So there are some molds that are totally benign and fine and it's okay. And then there are other molds like Stachybotrys, for example. If your home has that, you're not going to feel so good. And some people will react really poorly to this. I am quite sensitive. Like my husband, he could literally be sleeping beside Stachybotrys and have no response. With me, even the slightest bit, I will get headaches. I will have like the most intense sinus pain, nosebleeds, rashes,
Oh, gosh,
stuffed nose, like pretty pretty quickly. Yeah. A lot of fatigue, memory loss issues, inability to cognitively function. So you can see like parasites affect mood and cognition, mycotoxins affect mood, cognition. And so both of these kind of play together, and why it's important to speak about them together is that when you're subject to mold, you're going to become TH2 dominant. And then parasites can kind of just slide in and set up camp and chill because your immune system doesn't even see that it's a problem. And so these two oftentimes go hand in hand. So if you're currently working on a parasite protocol, you should probably also work on a mold protocol. And similarly, if you're working on a mold protocol, you should definitely make sure that you don't have parasites because they work in tandem together quite nicely, synergistically.
Oh, that's so, I find this stuff, it sounds super creepy, but it's super interesting when you think about it. So what you're saying, if you have a pulse, you have a parasite, going back to what your teacher said there, like, so is it possible that we can get a parasite and also like have the parasite die without us ever even knowing?
Totally. Yes. Okay. Like 100%. Yeah. I was actually on a cruise ship about a year ago and I was taking antiparasitics because those cruise ships are filled with these dudes, and I had lunch, and then the next morning I was passing worms like crazy. That's never yuck. So gross. So I mean, we do, like, we have them everywhere. Yeah. And if your body has strong vitality, if your body is strong, it can kill these things off. It's when we are heavily toxic, when we're drinking tap water, breathing in toxic air, eating toxic food, it's just, there's so much that our body is holding on to. These things start to set up camp and just kind of stick around. So we can, with strong vitality, get rid of these things pretty quickly. But living in the world that we live in, I'm of the camp of like, you should be detoxing every day because our world is just toxic. And what that looks like in a maintenance level is going to look different than in a, oh my goodness, we have an acute situation, or even a chronic situation of this individual being subjected to either of these items. But the ongoing maintenance, like for me now, is I do a drainage pathway practice every day, which means I wear my castor oil pack, or I go into my sauna, or I do my Navage sinus rinses as just a way to like keep the toxic load down. And I make sure that I drink filtered water. And so, yes, I think with strong vitality, our bodies can get rid of a lot of this stuff, but we do need to support it because we live in a toxic world, and that's just where we're at right now.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And how, that's really interesting. It's like every time I'm about to ask you a question, you already answer it, which I love. So how can we pick up, I mean, obviously you're saying on the cruise ship, like, is it through food that you would pick up parasites? Like, how do we get exposed to or pick like parasites and mold toxicity?
Yeah. Okay. So in the case of parasites, usually it's something that we eat or drink. It can also be passed through sexual partners, depending on the parasite, but oftentimes it's food or drink. Now we think, like, I got my parasite probably from Dominican. I know the time that I got very, very sick. That's kind of when my health declined and everything kind of went sideways. So I feel pretty confident that I got it eating an apple in Dominican at the airport. And we think of, you know, when I go to Mexico or when I go to Africa, like those are things that could happen. But a lot of my clients get these things from eating undercooked meat at a restaurant or any time that you deal with like food poisoning.
Yeah.
Probably you should think about maybe just perhaps doing a parasite cleanse after that. Cruise ships, any sort of travel, food preparation, not preparing food safely or correctly. Pork products will have quite a lot, like salmon or any sort of fish products, any sort of fresh meat at any place. I'm pretty particular about where I get my meat products. Like, you can see worms literally crawling in Costco salmon. I don't eat Costco salmon. So sushi is a big, big one. Sushi. Yeah. I don't eat sushi anymore. And so we are, it's everywhere. But we also don't want to live in a world where we're terrified of everything.
Yeah.
And so I've made a rule that, like, if I'm eating out, I'm taking an antiparasitic, and I just choose not to have sushi because I almost died having a parasite. So that's just like a personal preference.
Yeah.
And when it comes to mycotoxins, usually we get them through a water damaged building. That's kind of like, if your home has a significant amount of water damage or your work has a significant amount of water damage, your home has been through a hurricane or had a ton of water wreckage, and maybe they've ripped things down to the studs, but they kept the studs and they were waterlogged, there is mold in that stud. And so a lot of the times it's our homes or our workplaces that are causing issues. And I've gone back and forth on whether or not to rip everything apart and start it again, or just leave it alone and clean the air. I think it really depends on the individual and how sensitive we are. Our genes play a huge role in how we respond to mycotoxins especially. And again, getting back to that vitality, when we're strong enough, we should be able to live in a home that has a little bit of water damage, because it's going to happen, and be able to handle it pretty okay for most people.
Yeah.
It's all about air filtration. And so those are kind of the exposures, is food, water, and air, primarily in our home or workplace. Sometimes our car, if we're spending a lot of time there, our gym too.
Wow. So everywhere.
Church. Yeah, like buildings.
Anywhere you
buildings.
Spend a lot of time, right? Like a consistent amount of time aside from the food.
Exactly.
That's so interesting. So I was going to ask you about how this shows up for women in perimenopause, but when you talked about how it shows up with like cognitive issues, anxiety, like brain fog and stuff, I'm like, well, that's what every perimenopausal woman is experiencing.
Yeah. The unique thing about perimenopause, menopause is your adrenals are having to take over more of the load as you have less and less hormones that are being created by your sex organs.
Yeah.
So if an individual is already bogged down with infections, like in the case of parasites or mycotoxins, a lot of the time these symptoms will get worse.
Yeah.
Because the adrenals are already the adrenals are already taxed. And so your menopause is going to be worse because your adrenals are already maxed with the infections that we're dealing with. And so I think oftentimes many of the women that I work with are 45, 50, you know, their cycles are getting a little bit wonky, or they experienced menopause recently and all of a sudden things are like sideways and it's like a nightmare, and they're saying hormones, hormones, hormones. And I'm like, yes, but they're responding to the problem. The problem is not the hormones. The problem is everything else that's making the hormones sideways.
I love that you say that, because I think like that's what society teaches, like, oh, you're in perimenopause, you're in menopause, like it's your hormones. And it's like, well, what's creating the hormonal issue? It's like, there's always that root, as you talk. It's like, so it's not real. Like, yes, your hormones are being impacted and that might be where the symptoms coming from, but it's something that's impacting the hormones. And I think that's such an important point to make for everyone to understand.
And like, I take progesterone and DHEA because I feel best on those things. And I've found like the right combo that works for me. And so sometimes, yes, it's about being comfortable and having those solutions that bring comfort, but being on a significant amount of those hormones and not getting to the root cause, like it won't work. Like a lot of my clients go on HRT and they're like, I feel great. And then 3 weeks later, it's like, okay, that didn't work. And it's like, because it's not, you can take as many hormones as you want. It's going to do nothing. And especially in the case of mycotoxins, because they're so challenging on the liver, if you're bringing in then estrogen and you're playing around with all that and your liver can't detoxify the estrogen, it just gets into a whole wackadoodle situation with the estrogen, the liver and the mycotoxins.
Yeah. Well, because your liver's dealing with all of it. So it's another area that's overtaxed, right? And then you have liver congestion and... So you've got your adrenals overtaxed, you've got your liver now overtaxed, and everything just kind of backs up and it becomes a big shit show. Excuse my language.
Yeah, exactly. All of that.
Yeah.
Or constipation show.
Which again, there's the whole detoxification issue. Like it's just a total backup. So, you know, so we can, you know, so if we have a parasite or mold issues, then we can be, it can be exacerbated because of the taxing of the adrenals. So then is it also fair to say that because our adrenals more taxed and maybe our immune system's down, then we become more susceptible to these things in this time as well?
Exactly. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Especially the parasites, like especially because that's kind of the, they just feed on the weak.
They feed on the weed. Yeah.
They really do.
It's like a real survival of the fittest situation, isn't it?
Here. Yeah. Yeah. You really want to just build up your vitality. Like that is, you want to be strong. Like I want to be the person that can handle the grains and the things, and I'm just strong and my gut can handle it, as opposed to let's just cut out everything and try to put together this house of cards. Like it's just not, it's going to crumble, you know?
That's
so
a good point. Right. Cause I feel like life is this fine line between, you know, recognizing the society and culture we and being able to like eat and explore and enjoy life. And then also being like, well, this doesn't make me feel good. So I need to be really anal about, you know, the food on my plate, for example, or how I live. And we want to allow we want our body to have that vital reserve, don't we? And so even just being on this stuff can allow us more flexibility and bounce back. I guess that's what you're saying about vitality.
Yes, exactly. We moved from a boat onto land in a home, and the home I knew walking into it wasn't going to be perfect. Like it's a home in Florida. It's going to have mold. Like,
yeah.
There's no way around this. And so how can I be responsible in knowing that I'm going into it? Like, could I have walked into this home and lived here 10 years ago? No way. I would have been really reactive and all the things. Mm-hmm. But now as a stronger individual, I'm not going to be an idiot and not clean my air. That would be stupid. And it would end me in the same result that I had previously. Yeah. So how can I maintain that vitality by keeping the air cleaner? Mm-hmm. And so I don't get further sick and I can maintain that strength. If maintenance is so much easier. And I think a lot of individuals I work with, once we get through that big thing, we're like, okay, I'm through it. It's like, no, we have to maintain our vitality. We have to maintain that strength. So even when you're through these things, there are certain aspects you need to do to maintain that vitality.
I have a client who messaged me the other day and is like, being healthy is a full-time job. And I'm like, it is. I mean, the idea behind it is that you have more of your reserve and energy to thrive. But there are a lot of things to think about.
But being sick is a full-time job.
Oh, it's way more than a full-time job. So you still have other things you have to do. So
And then you're burdened and there's things you can't do. I would rather have a full-time job caring for myself and be physically able and mentally capable and all those things, as opposed to being sick where it's a full-time job. And at that point too, you kind of lose your autonomy. Like you're having to rely so heavily on practitioners and doctors and therapies and all those things. Whereas maintaining your vitality is legit just you being a responsible adult, taking care of yourself. Like, so no, thank you on the sick part.
I love that. That needs to be taught in schools, but that's another conversation.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Okay. So you've talked about some signs and symptoms, but are there more signs and symptoms? So we have people listening to the podcast and they might be wondering, like you said, like, do I, don't I, should I check, you know? So, you know, or maybe there's unique signs and symptoms. Like, is there anything else you can share around that might have someone think, maybe I should, and should it be a GI map test? Like, what is it that they, if they're, you know, how might they recognize it in themselves, and when should they get testing done, and what should that test be?
Yeah. So I'll come right out and say that testing is not ideal for parasites. I was a lucky one where mine displayed. But most of my clients will have parasitic symptoms, like a significant amount of parasite symptoms, in addition to blood work that clearly shows a parasitic pattern indirectly. And when we do a GI map or other stool testing, it shows nothing. And so in those cases, I'm like, 100%, we're going to address parasites, because you think you have parasites. I think you have parasites. We're going to do the parasite stuff. So other things that you can kind of look at is restless sleep, grinding your teeth at night, drooling at night, any sort of acne, rashes, skin issues, psoriasis, going from diarrhea, loose stools, constipation, any sort of chronic SIBO issues that you just cannot even get to the bottom of, meaning you're feeling gassy and bloated, bowel urgency, like you just can't hold it in. You're running to the bathroom or maybe not even making it. Mm-hmm. Anal itching is a big one. A lot of women come to me with anal itching that are sometimes exacerbated through pumpkin seeds, because pumpkin seeds will start to kill off parasites, and the anal itching will be terrible when you start to have pumpkin seeds. So that's a good way to kind of see with some sorts of parasites.
Well, and pumpkin seeds are a really valuable source of like of zinc and other things that are really helpful for women
yeah.
who are struggling with their hormones. So it is
exactly.
very interesting.
Yeah. So you might be bringing in the pumpkin seeds for your hormones and all of a sudden your butt starts inching. Yeah. You're like, what is going on? That can be a really, really good indication. Also like fingernail biting, like kind of like getting under your nails and biting it. Oftentimes that's how you can get parasites because you were gardening or playing outside or picked up dog poop and then it's still on your fingernails and you can get it that way. But if you're constantly digging at them, there's like a parasite look to a person and it's hard to describe. But as a practitioner, you know, I ask my clients to upload pictures of themselves and I can usually tell just based on the way their face looks. I know that sounds crazy, but it's just like this droopiness and dark circles under their eyes. So that can be a really fun way of kind of determining it from a practitioner standpoint. Vitamin B6 deficiency. So if they're ALT, AST, and bun are low, that can be a good sign. For kids, like bedwetting right. is a big one. Your pets will give you parasite. I didn't mention that when you asked me where we can get parasites. So like kissing your pets, like don't do that.
That really gives me the heebie-jeebies when I see yeah. it. And I'm a huge animal lover. I have like a wonderful, glorious dog, but I am not down with like anyone licking my face. Like I'm just not.
Yeah. No. Another big one is eye floaters. That's something that I really struggled with. Like my eyes, that was one of the main reasons why I was just so frustrated and needed answers because there was so many floaters. And my eye doctor was like, just clean your eyes with baby soap and get in there. And I'm like, no, man, like there's so many, like it's hard to see. Sometimes there's so many and I don't have those anymore.
Interesting. But like, is that like sleep and then goop that's kind of in your eyes or?
No, it's like all the time there's stuff floating in your eyes.
Whoa. Okay. Wait, you said that sometimes that it's often that parasites won't show up in a stool sample. Why?
Because they like to hide. They're really good at hiding behind biofilms. They do not like being out partying in all the places. Like most of the time they're in your fascia, they're in your lungs. They're not just in your poop. And if they're in any part where there's poop or any sort of digestibles, like higher up in the digestive tract, they're often going to be behind biofilms. They can be in your blood. So they're not just like hanging out in your poop waiting to leave. Like
they don't want to leave.
No, they're very avoiding happy the poop. In there. Like, this is awesome in here. This is great. So they rarely show up in the stool.
And it was so interesting what you said when you're like, when your body's dealing with a lot of toxins, it's like almost like, fine, come on in and help me out here.
Yeah.
It's like the friend that sucks, but you're like, sure, stay with me because you're at least cleaning the house with me or something.
One of the ways to tell if somebody has parasites in blood work is that their ferritin is moderate. Like it's between 25, 30-ish to 35, 40-ish because parasites think ferritin is yum, yum buffet. They're like, oh, ferritin, that's our tastiest snack. Wow. And so they will eat down the ferritin to around that level. And so oftentimes, these people will go to their doctors and they'll see the ferritin and they'll be like, just take iron. This happened to me when I was sick. Just take iron. Your ferritin's low. Iron will feed the parasites. So it will just make the infection worse. And I remember taking the iron being like, my ferritin's not moving. I feel like hot death. What is happening? Well, I was literally giving the parasites a yum, yum, tasty treat. Like, here's dessert on top of all the other things you're having in my body. You're welcome.
Oh my
Stay
God.
A while.
This is why I love your content. Like, this is how you explain things. It makes so much sense to my brain in such a beautiful
awesome.
Language terms. I appreciate it. Okay. So, this is tricky, it feels like, because, you know, these symptoms feel like so many different things that we're going through. You know, tests might not bring it out. So, like, what do we do?
Yeah. Okay. You look at your symptoms, you have knowledge about your body. And I think the more you learn about these sort of holistic practices, I think most of us know what's going on. Like, of course, don't be a hypochondriac and think you know everything about everything. And that's a whole different other thing of just like thinking you have everything. But like, truly, if there was a time where you traveled or there was a time where you had a meal and you got sick, and then if you kind of look back and you're like, okay, wait, yeah, that didn't seem right. And some of the things she's saying, it makes sense. You can go to your past blood work and you could just use regular blood work for this. And you could look to see if your eosinophils, basophils, monocytes are slightly elevated, meaning that like functionally, I look at things a little bit differently. So my elevations and ranges are a lot tighter. But if you look at the ranges on your blood work and they're at the top of those ranges, even though they might not be highlighted as being elevated, that could be a good sign of a parasite pattern. We talked about the ferritin being a sign. Bun, ALT, AST can be low because of the B6 deficiency. What else? Yeah, I think that's it for blood work. Symptoms you want to go off of. So if you're like history, yeah, I could see that. Symptoms, definitely, probably yes. And then you look at your blood work and you're like, ooh, actually, well then, yeah, probably you have a parasite for sure. So then it just becomes how you want to address it. And if you want to test for it to find out what kind of parasite you have, then I really like GIMAP from Diagnostic Solutions. That's my number one, because every other test doesn't show a proper dysbiotic pattern, meaning some of the tests out here now, it literally just says you have dysbiosis. Well, like, duh, everybody has dysbiosis. Yeah. Like, there's really three different types of dysbiotic patterns: inflammatory, insufficiency, and digestive dysfunction. How you treat either of those is going to be very different. Like if somebody with an insufficiency issue, meaning they don't have enough healthy bacteria, if they start killing parasites, they will not be okay. Like they already don't have enough healthy bacteria. You have to build up the healthy bacteria first. Yeah. So in that case, like if you're listening and you've been on rounds of antibiotics and you deal with infections constantly, I would say spend a good amount of time just going on probiotics to really build up your body stronger before you start any antiparasitics. And then it just becomes parasite protocols are going to be long because the life cycle of a parasite is long. In some cases, they're 5 or 6 months, the lifespan of a parasite. And so you can't just go on a 10-day parasite cleanse and be like, got them all, let's go. Yeah. So it really takes commitment to understanding your symptoms, checking your blood work, taking a couple little breaks. Because it's linked to serotonin, there's the level of full moon that plays a role, because when the full moon is out, it's going to trigger the parasites more. The serotonin is going to change. And so ebbing and flowing, it's crazy. Yeah, that's another great sign. Like if you are nuts on the full moon and your symptoms are crazy, ding, 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 probably parasites.
You know how they always say, oh, is it a full moon? Everyone, you know, if you've ever worked in, when I was younger, I worked in retail and that's what people would say. Like, I think parasites. I worked. They're like, oh, all the crazy people came out today. It's the full moon. So that's
parasites. Yes. Whoa. Which is so crazy because I remember knowing exactly when the moon was based on how I was feeling. And I think there was just a full moon. And my husband was like, hey, there's a full moon tonight. I'm like, really? Like, cool. That's great. I felt nothing. Yeah. So that can be a good sign. So that's
never heard that before. That's
That's the parasite piece. And then the mycotoxin piece, this is a little bit more like nuanced, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. There are people that get really sick from being in moldy places. Yeah. And sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes they need to get out of that home and they need to find a safer place. Mm. I would say that I've probably, in my years of practicing, I've probably worked with, I don't know, maybe 5% of my clients are that bad that they would need to like leave their home. Sometimes it's a matter of just opening up your windows, cleaning your home really well, using HEPA filtration, having air filtration running constantly. Like you probably can't hear mine in the background, but I have a lot through my house to keep my home air super clean. We breathe 20,000 liters of air a day. That's more food than you will eat in a day. That's more water than you will drink in a day. And yet none of us are thinking about our air quality. Well, very few of us are thinking about our air quality. So a lot of times it's vacuuming, wet dusting, and keeping your air clean with fil- filtration is usually enough to just make your space cleaner. And then it's about getting in there with supporting your liver, because your liver is going to detoxify those mycotoxins, sweating, because sweat is going to get those mycotoxins out as well, and your drainage pathway work, and binders to like start actually kicking those mycotoxins out. But I would say, like, of the two, I far prefer working with mycotoxins, because like when they're out, and it's a lot more manageable and doable, though you might feel not so great when you detox. Parasites are a lot more nuanced because they're hard to test for. They're like, symptoms are cyclical, and antimicrobials can make people feel like terrible. And so it's a little bit more involved, but they usually, in a proper order of operations, you want to go open up your drainage pathways, meaning start moving your poops, start sweating, start moving your liver properly, then get into parasites, because they're going to be larger actually in physical size. You're going to bust through biofilms and start to work through some of that stuff that they're hidden behind, and then get started with mycotoxins, because they are smaller and manageable. Therefore, they kind of come after the parasite work.
How do you test for the mycotoxins?
Great question. Okay. So you can actually tell, like I was talking about previously, the mycotoxin pattern in blood work. A big sign that I look for first is like your LDL being elevated. Your LDL also, like, if you are chronically ill from a mold situation, your LDL will be totally tanked. Your cholesterol panel will be tanked. Monocytes will usually be high regardless if it's like an acute situation or more of a chronic terrible situation. It's usually the cholesterol panel that I look at most. And then you get into testing either your home to know kind of what are we dealing with from a home perspective. I like testing homes just because I can tell from the molds that we're testing for in the home, did they match the mycotoxins in your body?
Right.
So I can test your urine, which is usually the way that I like to test a mold. A lot of doctors will test blood, but that doesn't tell us anything. And so, like, it's just, it doesn't tell us anything that we can like really use for any purpose. But with urine, we want to do a provoked urine test. That's basically taking a provoking agent that's going to provoke those mycotoxins out into the urine, so we get an accurate amount. And then we can actually see, do the mycotoxins that you are releasing, are they generated by the molds that are in your house? If yes, then we really need to focus on your house. If no, then you're getting this from another place, or this is from when you were 15 years old in your disgusting basement playing Barbies, you know? So like, those mycotoxins can actually stick around for that long in the body. And so sometimes it's about detoxification from 40 years ago when you were a kid. And then that's usually pretty easy. It's a pretty easy process on that one.
Fascinating. Okay. So again, we've covered so much here, and I always love to try to, like, obviously we're going to, you know, tell everyone how to learn more from you to dive more deeply into this. But you talked earlier about like mold and parasite protocols, or like how you detox every day. Like, so for people who are listening and if they want to do something today, is there anything you recommend that people work on? Like, just so one, I feel like how to detox every day is like something everybody can do. Mm-hmm. At any point in time, and just as a preventative situation?
Totally. Yeah. Okay. I've actually put together like a free outline on how to open up drainage pathways stuff. So if you just go to healthfulpursuit.com/parasites, it will outline not only the opening up drainage pathway and how to detox every day, but also some of the parasite stuff. So you get like a 2-in-1, but even if you just want to focus on the opening up drainage pathway piece, that's a really good resource. So it's healthfulpursuit.com/parasites. So drainage, think of it like every way that your body gets rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. Women have a really hard time getting rid of stuff in their bowels. Like, that's usually the number one thing is constipation. So really trying to figure out what's going on with your bowels and getting those moving, whether it's magnesium oxide, citrate, castor oil packs on the bowel, taking more fiber, less fiber, more water, more electrolytes, whatever you need to do to get those moving nicely. There are also like herbal blends that aren't going to cause reliance on it, but at least the get your bowels moving. They have to be moving properly. And it is very important that they move well. That's how
what
we're
is that
to
for
get
you?
Estrogen.
You talk about that. Like, what is that for you, moving very well?
Okay. So it really depends on how much you eat. I eat about 3,000 calories a day. Yeah. So my poop's going to be like two or three times a day and like a good amount. But like if you're eating generally, ideally, like the perfect digestive system is you eat and 30 to 45 minutes later, you have a bowel movement, not of the food you just ate, but the food you ate like maybe 8 hours ago.
Right. Pushing down.
Yeah. Pushing just down like making space. Like if you watch babies, like they'll eat and then they'll be foolish and then they'll poop and then they'll want more food. Like that's really, that is how we should be. And so that's an ideal situation. It should be well-formed, not too hard, not too soft, just right. And then we think of sweat. Okay. When we have thyroid dysregulation, we're going to not sweat as much. And so sometimes the thyroid stuff and the gut stuff and the liver stuff is all kind of playing a role in that, but starting to encourage yourself to sweat. The best way to do that is just to get outside, just get outside in the sun. Even if the sun is, I still think in Celsius, so it's really hard for me, like -5, you're still outside, you're in the sun. That's great. And in the summer you're sweating. You can also get any sort of sauna situation. I have a little backpack, like sauna sleeping bag situation that I use to just get yourself sweating. Then you think of urine, make sure you're drinking enough water. So we covered sweat. Oh, liver. Castor oil packs. That's my go-to.
Talk about castor oil packs, because I have a lot of people that ask me questions about this. So I'd love to hear your.
I love them. Yeah, I love them.
What are they?
Castor oil pack. Yeah, so it's flannel on one side, and ideally some sort of like waterproof material on the other, so that you can wear like a t-shirt, and the castor oil pack is not, or the castor oil itself is not going to permeate through the pack. And so basically, it is a pack of flannel that you put a little bit of oil on, you place it over top of your liver, and you let it sit there for as long as you can tolerate. I know when I first started, when my liver was a mess, I could tolerate about 2 minutes and I would have the worst anxiety and anger, and I wanted to rip that thing off my body. And now I can wear it, like I sometimes forget that I'm wearing it, and I'll wear it all day and I'm like, I need to get this thing off.
Does it hurt? Like why?
What? No, it just, it stimulates the liver movement. And so if your liver is very stagnant, the liver is the emotional center of anger and frustration. And so if your liver has not moved, when you start to move your liver, it will bring up a lot of feelings. Nausea is also part of it. Like if I wear my pack too long, I will get nauseous. And so, yeah, that's the liver. That's the liver piece. I love castor oil packs. A lot of my clients won't do castor oil packs when they have to put heat on it because it's a pain, and I don't do it either. It will not happen. If I have to sit there with a pack on my liver for an hour with a heat pack over top of it, it's not going to happen. So I would rather you wear a castor oil pack with no heat than no castor oil pack at all. And what I really love doing, if I remember, is to put castor oil pack on castor oil just on my liver before I get in the sauna. And then it's like a 2-for-1 deal. So that is good.
I can see you with your hands pointing, and I know where the liver is, but if for the people who are listening, where is the liver on the body?
Okay. So you know where your heart is. It's the opposite side and down. So, so feel your heart on your left side, go to your right side. It's right underneath your breast. So if you like kind of tuck your hand underneath your right breast and kind of get up there, that's where your liver is. The reason I make that joke about the heart is I went to a chiropractor once and she was arguing with me that the liver is under the heart. And I'm like, you are not adjusting me. This is terrifying. You're not getting close to my body. Nope. No.
That's scary.
Yes, it was very scary. Like step away from the neck, step away from my neck. So castor oil packs. And then we get into more like drainage every day kind of pieces. So what I would say is the easiest thing is just choose one, just choose your weakest one that you think. In my case, it was liver. So I started with castor oil packs, but if you feel like it's lymph, like you're dealing with a lot of cellulite issues and you're getting sick all the time. And maybe you even have like lymph nodes that are swollen. Maybe yours is rebounding or getting a little vibration plate and going on that. You don't have to do everything. Just choose your weakest pathway. If you haven't gone to the bathroom in 4 days, probably your weakest pathway is your bowels. And that's where you start. And so just doing that consistently, start thinking about your food quality, your air quality, and your water quality. And those three things, plus the drainage work, will really help you to open up drainage and help to mitigate some of those imbalances right off the bat before you even start to think about mycotoxins and parasites. If your drainage isn't optimal, if you bring in an antiparasitic and you're not pooping, nothing's going to happen. You'll probably feel terrible. Or if you start addressing mycotoxins and your liver isn't open, you're going to have issues. If you start addressing Lyme, bacteria, viral infections, and your lymph is not moving, you're going to have issues. So
I love that. I mean, that goes for, I mean, we were talking about HRT, like that goes for everything. It's like anything, if you want to, you got to make sure your body can metabolize it, deal with it, process it, use it otherwise. Yeah. So I love that tip, is make sure your drainage is open. This is almost like your prep work to making sure. And in the process, I'm sure the body can then do some of it on its own, which is great. But then if you need more, it's there.
It's crazy, by nervous system regulation and opening up drainage, how many clients are just like, I don't need you anymore. I'm like, great. That's awesome.
The goal. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. Nervous system and opening up drainage. Nervous system, it's a whole other conversation. But those two pieces, like, it's just like changing your diet. If you're eating McDonald's every day, and then all of a sudden you're like eating organic and, you know, you're choosing like plants and healthy meats. Like so much has changed. I think it's the same thing when you open up your mind to the drainage pathways. It's like, whoa, that is awesome. Yeah. Like it's just, it's one of those big transition periods. At least it was for me in my health and my practice as well.
This has been amazing, Leanne. Thank you. So, like, my mind is blown. I've learned so much. Like, I think we've, you know, given it so many options. I'm going to definitely put your healthfulpursuit.com/parasite in the show notes. But how else can anyone listening learn more from you? Like, you're a wealth of knowledge and you have so many resources. So where's the best place for them to find you?
Yeah. Okay. So Healthful Pursuit is my blog. You can also just type in leannevogel.com and it'll go to my blog, because Healthful Pursuit is like, did she say helpful, healthful, healthful? What is that? What is that? And then I'm on Instagram, Leanne Vogel, that's with a V. And then I have a podcast called The Keto Diet Podcast. And we talk about low carb living. I've been thinking about renaming my podcast, but I mean, I talk about keto, I talk about low carb, and we talk about just like functional living within a low carb template. And low carb could be zero carbs to 200 grams of carbs. And so most people that are in the health space are welcome to hang out. And I think those are kind of my big places that I tend to be.
I love it. I will put all those in the show notes, but sisters who are listening, go and follow Leanne on Instagram. You're going to love it there for sure. It's such a great way. And then to get into your world, I think, and get like really great tips, like right off the bat and actionable things. So thank you so much, Leanne. I'm super grateful for your time today.
Oh, thanks, Priya. This was fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right, sisters, go out, be more in your life and not just less on a scale, and follow Leanne, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Period Whisperer podcast. If you liked this episode, take 30 seconds right now to write a review on iTunes and then reach out to me directly on Instagram at Bria_period_whisperer and message me there with a screenshot of your review. As a thank you, I will give you a customized free hormone audit to get you on your way to the best health of your life in midlife.